In the immortal words of Judy Brown, happiness is a choice. And I can't tell you how happy I am that it is the Friday before the Red River Shootout. It is the greatest game day atmosphere in all of college football. I've been wanting to kick this thing off since Monday. But today, we are going to get into the nitty-gritty. We're going to preview Texas, Oklahoma, edition 120, 230 on ABC. 200,000 people milling around, clogging their arteries on fried food at the State Fair of Texas. And then you add another 100,000 weaving and fried fooding their way through to the actual game. And have you noticed how the ticket prices are so crazy different? Like if you wanted to buy a ticket on the OU side of the Cotton Bowl, it's like $300, sometimes more. It's $300 less than the tickets on the Texas side. So obviously Texas fans feeling good about this. Texas is a 2-touchdown favorite. Some places Texas is a 14.5-point favorite. And let's get right into it, because this, when you kind of stack it all up, and I get it, Texas fans have whiplash. They have UTSD. They have battered fan syndrome. OU has beaten up on Texas. The last 15 meetings, it's OU 11, Texas 4. I know Texas can't win back-to-back games tomorrow, but they haven't won back-to-back games against OU since 08, 09. That's awful. This is where Steve Sarkisian, his leadership, the player leadership for the Texas Longhorns, who came this close, a play away, if you will, maybe a back shoulder ball instead of a jump ball to A.D. Mitchell in the end zone at the Superdome last year from playing for a national championship. Steve Sarkisian has asked his team to be obsessed with the details of winning. Because Steve Sarkisian said, I'm borderline obsessed with winning a national championship. And then when I win one, I'm going to want to win two. This is where Steve Sarkisian, and I'm not trying to be flippant, but he was making $5.6 million last year. Now he's making $10.3 million. For a reason, because he's been worth it. He's come in with a plan. The plan was to get bigger in the trenches, get faster on the outside, load up, use his pedigree, his reputation, his ability to groom quarterbacks who move on to the NFL and do well there. Guys like Carson Palmer and Matt Cassel. Guys like, Tua. I mean, the Dolphins miss Tua. There's no doubt. Mac Jones, by the way, there's still tire on that. There's still tread on that tire. Like if I were Jerry Jones, I would go get Mac Jones as my backup quarterback. And That dude could take you places. He got caught in a blender in New England. The guy went to the Pro Bowl as a rookie, and then Bill Belichick lost his mind and put Matt Patricia, a defensive coordinator, in charge of the offense. How would you feel? Exactly. But Steve Sarkisian, part of the plan, get bigger in the trenches, get faster on the outside, use his pedigree, what he did at Alabama, to attract players to Texas. It's happening. It's working. And when you look at Texas and you look at Oklahoma, like It sounds like Deion Burks, their leading receiver, is not going to play. That means for Oklahoma, no Deion Burks, no Jahlil Farouk, no Andrell Anthony, no Nick Anderson. Jahlil Farouk beat up Texas last year. Nick Anderson caught the game-winning touchdown against Texas last year. Andrell Anthony made plays until he got hurt against Texas last year. Texas, meanwhile, has all six of their explosive, big play receivers on the most explosive offense in college football. 45 explosive pass plays in five games. 70 explosive plays when you combine pass and run. So let that marinate. Texas is averaging 9 explosive pass plays per game. That's passes of at least 15 yards or more. Texas has arguably the best offensive line. I would argue the best pass blocking offensive line in college football. There's room for improvement in the run blocking. And I think that's why you've seen some rotation in there. Cole Hudson, a better run blocker than DJ Campbell. You've got a tight end who's kind of turned into one of the better tight ends in college football in Gunnar Helm. And I think you're going to see another big game from Gunnar Helm against OU. But I told you that Quinn Ewers is salivating to get back on the field, and especially in this game. This game means a lot to Quinn Ewers. He was not happy with the way he played last year. And it was such a weird game because Texas comes out, OU knew what play they were running. They ran it better than Texas did. They intercept Quinn Ewers on the second play of the game and turn it into a quick 9-yard touchdown run by Dylan Gabriel. That would be foreshadowing for that game. Dylan Gabriel ended up winning the game with his legs, but Dylan Gabriel's a talented enough passer that you had to respect his arm. And he was the more experienced quarterback in the game last year. Dylan Gabriel's legit. Dylan Gabriel's got his own big game coming up tomorrow. Oregon playing host to Ohio State, and everyone's picking Ohio State. And I'm like, watch out for Dylan Gabriel. This guy's pretty good. And we'll get into that in a minute. So OU had all of its receivers. They had Dylan Gabriel. And Texas, for some silly reason, maybe because they didn't totally trust Anthony Hill, played middle linebacker Jalen Ford all 82 snaps in this game last year. And it was sweltering hot. It's going to be sweltering hot again tomorrow. It's going to be in the 90s, which means it's going to be 100 on the field. These guys are wearing armor for 3.5 hours. They're going to get hot. They're going to get tested physically, mentally. And Texas has better depth now. Now, OU has really good depth on defense. They're solid. They're solid on defense. But Texas is the number two scoring defense. Yes, OU's played Tennessee. Texas has played Michigan. I get it. Nico Iamaliava is a better quarterback than whatever Michigan has. But Texas defense is locked, loaded, playing well. Really good on third down, really good in the red zone. Number two in passing yards allowed. And how much do you have to worry about the pass? I get it. Michael Hawkins Jr., the freshman quarterback from OU. This is the first true freshman ever to start a Red River Shootout for OU. This because they They benched five-star Jackson Arnold 3 games into the season after turning it over for the fifth time in 3 games. I get that. And then you see Michael Hawkins come out against Tennessee. He's throwing his body around. He's getting helicoptered at the goal line. But he's giving it all he's got. He's putting his neck on the line. And his teammates are going to fight for that. And they see him fighting. So, Michael Hawkins, good call. Michael Hawkins is going to try to beat Texas without his top five receivers and with an offensive line full of transfers who have struggled to gel. Now, maybe they gelled in their off week. Both teams are coming off an off week for this game for the first time ever, which is fascinating and fair. Texas gets Quinn Ewers back. Steve Sarkisian made it official, even though I reported it last week that Quinn Ewers would be starting because he honestly could have started against Mississippi State, but they wanted to take the extra time, be extra cautious. But Michael Hawkins is going to try to beat Texas without his top five receivers and with running back Javonte Barnes. Come on, man. I mean, obviously the marquee matchup in this is whenever Texas has the football. Quinn Ewers against Danny Stutzman and Billy Bowman. Quinn Ewers with all of his explosive big play receivers, Gunnar Helm, 3 running backs who've each taken turns leading the team in critical situations. You had Jarek Gibson making some important plays. He had the 9-yard touchdown run against Michigan in the red zone. You had Jaden Blue catching a touchdown pass against Michigan. He injures his ankle that game. And then Jarek Gibson ends up being your leading rusher against UTSA, 13 carries, 75 yards. Then Blue comes back from the ankle injury and becomes Texas's first and only 100-yard rusher this season with 25 carries, 124 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a receiving touchdown in the win over ULM. And then against Mississippi State, Blue is going along nicely, 6 carries, 36 yards, but 2 fumbles. So he's out. Quintravian Wisner comes in. And Wisner ends up with more than 7 yards a carry in the second half and had a 20-yard touchdown run, a tackle-breaking, beautiful 20-yard touchdown run wiped off the board by a holding call. So Texas, even though you can't point to which back is going to get it done, so far each game, they've been able to get it done. Now, against Michigan, Texas didn't run the ball very well. Not at all. The leading rusher in the Michigan game was Ryan Wingo with 1 carry for 55 yards. And if you took that 55-yard carry out of the equation, Texas's running backs averaged about 2 yards per carry. So it could be the same situation tomorrow. Oklahoma's been really good against the run. They're giving up 2.64 yards per carry. But Oklahoma has given up some big plays in the passing game, and that's what Texas majors in. I mean, anyone remember if I point to the UTSA game, everyone's going to say, well, that was Arch Manning's game. And it was, and that's when Texas had its most explosive pass plays, 12 season high. But against Michigan, Quinn Ewers, 7 explosive pass plays, including the 33-yarder to Isaiah Bond on 3rd and 13, the 22-yarder to Gunnar Helm on 2nd and 15, the 21-yard touchdown pass to Gunnar Helm, an 18-yard pass to Quintrevion Weisner, a 20-yard pass to Matt Golden, 23-yard pass to Jaden Blue, another 22-yard pass to Gunnar Helm. So explosive pass plays are what Texas majors in. And against Auburn, OU gave up 8 explosive pass plays, including a 31-yard touchdown pass and a 48-yard touchdown pass. They gave up 5 explosive run plays. They gave up a total of 13 explosive plays against Auburn. They barely won that game. They won it when the fourth quarter turned on a 63-yard pick six by linebacker Kip Lewis. That helped to mask the 13 big plays that OU gave up. Now, that was at Auburn. Even at home against Tennessee, they gave up 4 explosive pass plays, including a 66-yard touchdown pass, a 50-yard pass, a 42-yard pass, a 38-yard pass. And they gave up 5 explosive runs of 12, 10, 16, 17, and 16 yards. Against Tulane at home, they gave up 7 explosive pass plays and 3 explosive runs. You can get to the OU defense. They brought in new corners, bigger corners. They brought in Des Malone from San Diego State. He's number 4. And they brought in Connie Walker from Louisville, who's a 6'2", 206-pound corner. But Tennessee's receivers were running away from those guys. And no one's seen the speed of Texas's receivers. It's kind of alarming. And that's where, you know, OU is saying they haven't seen a defense like us. Well, yeah, they kind of have against Michigan, honestly. And Michigan has better corners, honestly, than OU does. OU is really, really good right up the middle of their defense. You know, Dominic Williams, Dejon Terry, the 2 transfers they brought in at defensive tackle, those guys have been playing really well. You got Danny Stutzman and Kip Lewis at the linebacker, and then you've got 2 of the best safeties in the SEC, Billy Bowman, Robert Spears, Jennings. So right up the middle of the defense, OU is locked and loaded. But that's how Michigan is built as well, with Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham. And Texas found success in the passing game on the perimeter. You know, out on the seams, out on the numbers. And Texas needs Quinn Ewers to be the Quinn Ewers who played at Michigan, who was oblivious to all the fans screaming, causing the walls of the big house to shake. Quinn Ewers was like, I just don't see Quinn Ewers getting caught up in the emotion, getting fooled. I just don't see it. His experience is going to win this game. And it could be decisively, because we know Quinn Ewers can spin it. We know he's got weapons at the receiver position. it always helps to get off to a good start in this game, but you can get into a rhythm. You just got to get into a rhythm. And that's where Steve Sarkisian and Quinn Ewers and their ability to sort of finish each other's sentences as offensive play caller and quarterback, that's where it comes in big time. Because over on the OU sideline, you got Seth Littrell and Jojon Finley trying to, you know, trying to make the most out of an offense that is very shorthanded. And for whatever reason, the offensive line hasn't come together. And I don't know. I watched the OU Auburn game. I watched the OU Tennessee game. You can get by their tackles. And Colin Simmons, I think, is going to have a big day. Because Michael Tarquin, number 70, who they brought in from USC, whether he's playing on the left side or the right side, you can get around him. I'd be lining up Colin Simmons wherever number 70 is. I just don't see it. You know, I hear people saying, Sooner Magic. If OU Sooner Magics this game and they somehow beat Texas, there are real issues. Like, that's a soul check. And I'm not trying to be dismissive of OU, but Texas is the better football team. Texas has the better quarterbacks. Texas has the better running game. Texas has by far the most explosive passing game. And oh, by the way, Texas's defense is number 2 in points allowed, giving up 7 points per game. And you got a lot of experience on the Texas defense. You got fifth-year seniors and Vernon Broughton and Alfred Collins up there in the middle of the defensive line. Bill Norton's a 6-year guy. Jermaine Lole's a 7th-year guy. And Collins, Broughton, and Lole have played really well this year. You've got really talented defensive ends in Colin Simmons and Ethan Burke and Colton Vasek and Baron Sorrell. And this is a game for them. You know, Trey Simmons, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know. I really would love to not see him very much on the field, but my man Zay Collier, who I do a afternoon radio show with from 1 to 3 weekdays on the Texas Sports Unfiltered app and YouTube channel, download it, set a recurring weekday alarm for 1 p.m. and check it out if you haven't. I think you'll find it wonderfully infotaining. But Zay, I've been critical. I've been critical of how many snaps Trey Moore is getting. He has 9 tackles, no plays behind the line of scrimmage, no batted passes, no interceptions, no, you know, and then you've got Colton Vasek. So Trey Moore's played 163 snaps. Colton Vasek's played 41, and Colton Vasek has 2 sacks. And he's played a quarter of the snaps that Trey Moore's played. And Trey Moore, who had 14 and a half sacks for UTSA last year, but they were all against the tomato cans on UTSA's schedule. The guy's never made a play against a Power 4 team. That's real. You can go look that up. played Texas in 2022, played Houston, he played Texas Tech, he played Tennessee. He never, you know, had a sack or a tackle for loss in those games. Anyway, this is a game where you have to compress the pocket. That's a game for Ethan Burke and his 83-inch wingspan, pushing offensive linemen backward. I don't need spin moves in this game. I need someone who's going to drive the offensive tackle right back into Michael Hawkins That's Ethan Burke, who is the second highest rated defensive end on the Texas football team, right behind five-star freshman Colin Simmons, according to Pro Football Focus. And Colin Simmons is getting better by the minute. Two sacks against Mississippi State. The guy is coming home. He's from Duncanville. I always say, let the Dallas kids play in this game. Let the Dallas kids play in the Red River Shootout, because they're coming home. They're showing up and showing out in front of their friends and family, and they usually excel. Anthony Hill should have played way more in last year's game. He played half the snaps of Jalen Ford, and Anthony Hill had his best game of the season, and Jalen Ford had his worst. So I'm looking up and down the roster. I'm looking at Colin Simmons. I'm looking at Anthony Hill. I need those guys on the field. They're Dallas kids. This game means more to them. So let them eat. On offense, I'm looking at Quintravian Wisner. Let that kid eat. This game means a lot to him. He played at DeSoto. And he's the only one of Texas's top three scholarship running backs who are available. Jaden Blue, Jarek Gibson, Quintravian Wisner. Wisner's the only one who hasn't lost a fumble this season. And that's important in this game. Now, I know y'all are like, well, what are you saying about Jaden Blue? Jaden Blue needs to play. Maybe he needs to start. But you're going to need Jaden Blue. You're going to need him in the passing game. You're going to need his receiving skills and his speed on the perimeter. But if you're just using him in the passing game, okay, now you're predictable. So he's going to have to carry the football. And you've got to trust him until he gives you a reason not to trust you. Because you've been working with him for 2 weeks to get his mind right, to get his ball security right. So now you got to take him for a test drive, make sure that he's got it, and rebuild his confidence after he got benched one play into the second half of the Mississippi State game. You cannot play scared. You need to put your playmakers in position to go do it. And why not play a bunch of base defense in this game? Like, why would you be playing nickel or dime? Put an extra linebacker on the field. Maybe it's Ty Anthony Smith, and you just have him spy Michael Hawkins. And you make sure that he does not beat you with his legs. You force him to beat you with his arm, and you let Colin Simmons run after him all day. Because I don't think people understand how fast Colin Simmons is. I don't think they understand how fast the Texas defense is. I don't think they understand how fast Anthony Hill is, Ty Anthony Smith is. I mean, I'm not saying just play base defense, but I play a lot of it. You're sure not going to play any dime. Like, what receivers are you scared of? Brennan Thompson? J.J. Hester? Like, this is, they got their tight end, Bauer Sharp, from Southeast Louisiana. And he doesn't block. He does not block. So they just don't have the guys that they've had in the past on offense. OU special teams are solid. Tyler Keltner, their kicker, Zach Schmidt, has kicked field goals this season. Their punter, Luke Elzinga, another transfer who's been good. They're solid on special teams. They don't have any big play return guy. Their punt returner is Peyton Bowen. He's averaging 9.1 per return. That's not bad. It's better than Texas. And they've got Sam Franklin on kick returns, and he's averaging 21 yards per return. Nothing special there. But we know that OU is leading or among the nation's leaders. I think they're top three in takeaways, 13, including 8 forced fumbles. They peanut Tillman punch the ball. And you better get both hands around it tomorrow against OU's defense, because they are punch the ball out. And that's the one way that this game could go sideways for Texas. Self-inflicted wounds, turnovers. The self-inflicted wounds, like penalties on offense, that needs to stop. This is a problem, kids. Texas has 3 penalties in 5 games. 24 have been on the offense. They had 8 flags on the offense against Mississippi State. They had 7 flags against the offense against Michigan. Texas was able to overcome not all those penalties against Michigan. That first drive, Cam Williams had 3 penalties, including a holding call that wiped a touchdown off the board. So they definitely did not overcome that. That was a huge, costly penalty. Eight penalty flags against Mississippi State. Only 2 were in the first half. You had Gunnar Helm with a false start and a holding call, like uncharacteristic stuff. Cam Williams is one of the most penalized offensive linemen in FBS, in part because he got flagged 4 times against Michigan. He got flagged for a false start against UTSA. He got flagged twice against Mississippi State. But Cam Williams is getting it done as a pass blocker. So just get rid of the penalties. Get rid of the false starts. Get rid of the self-inflicted wounds. Do you know how many 3rd and longs Texas has been in? It's a lot. And it's been because of these self-inflicted wounds. I've got it written down here. The 3rd and longs. Listen to this. Okay. Against Michigan, Texas had 3rd and 13, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 21, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 19. This is the stuff that Steve Sarkisian said we need to avoid. Hell, in a 56-7 trampling of UTSA, Texas had 3rd and 5, 3rd and 13, 3rd and 17, 3rd and 16. They had 1 3rd and 3. So they had 0 3rd downs against Michigan that were less than 3rd and 5. It was all 3rd and 5 and longer. Against ULM, they had a 3rd and 1. In fact, they threw a 56-yard pass to Isaiah Bond on 3rd and 1. But they had a 3rd and 12, a 3rd and 9, a 3rd and 10, a 3rd and 9, a 3rd and 5, a 3rd and 5. against Mississippi State, they had a 3rd-and-22, 3rd-and-9, 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-10, 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-17. What the hell's going on? Got to get out of these 3rd-and-longs. It's amazing they're converting some of these. I mean, Texas is converting 3rd downs like 50%+ of the time. I mean, it's 51.7% of the time. That's impressive considering all the 3rd-and-longs. But the 3rd-and-longs need to go away. I mean, this offense is explosive. It's averaging 45 points per game, but you get rid of the penalties that are leading to these 3rd-and-longs. Jeez, oh, man. All right, so there's the breakdown. I think the players to watch in this game are obviously Quinn Ewers. That's a no-brainer. But my players of the game on defense are going to be Anthony Hill and Colin Simmons. Dallas area kids who want to leave their mark in this game in front of their friends and family. Let those dogs eat. And my players of the game on offense, in addition to Quinn Ewers, Quintravian Wisner, Dallas kid, let him eat. And Gunnar Helm. I think OU is going to be so concerned about the speed of Texas's wideouts that Gunnar Helm's going to find those little seams. And this could be a carbon copy of the Michigan game, kids. Like, it could be a carbon copy of the Michigan game. And I know that if I'm thinking this, then Brent Venables is thinking this. But Steve Sarkisian does such a good job of putting defenders in conflict, putting defenders he wants in conflict into conflict, where they have to make a split decision. Am I covering the flat? Am I covering the back who's in jet motion for a screen? Or, oh, Ryan Wingo just ran by me. Oh, and now Ryan Wingo's scoring. That's the kind of game that Texas needs to have. They need to leave no doubt because OU is vulnerable. OU probably should have lost to Auburn. They almost lost to Houston, 16-12 at home, because Donovan Smith, who we've talked about this week, the Houston quarterback, threw for 260 yards in a touchdown and completed 70%+ of his passes. You can move the football on that OU defense through the air. And that's where Quinn Ewers comes back. He picks up his Heisman Trophy campaign, puts it back on the map. I said, don't sweat this. Don't sweat Quinn Ewers going out with this injury and missing 2.5 games, because the Heisman Trophy race sometimes comes all the way down to the final week of the season. If it's close, voters are looking for a tiebreaker. They don't do their homework and look back at games like the Michigan game and how Quinn Ewers was 8 of 10 converting 3rd downs in the first half when Texas took a 24-3 lead in the Big House. And they may dismiss that Michigan win because Michigan's now lost to Washington. So even after beating USC, they go on the road and belly flop because they're down to their 3rd quarterback. So Texas is loaded. They're the better team. They should win this game. I predicted 31-9. 31-9. And if you can put a beat down like that on OU, then you put them in that teeter-totter range because they've got a really tough remaining schedule. you could send them to a 6-6 type season, really impact their recruiting. This is a big game. This is a game where Texas absolutely should have won last year. They didn't deserve to win, but they should have. When they took the lead with a minute 17 left, I'm sure Pete Kwiatkowski and Steve Sarkisian now realize the dumbest thing they could do was, you know, play off coverage and try to keep things in front of them. Oh, we'll let them get down to the 20 and then we'll play great red zone defense. And then guess what? They were exhausted. So Texas needs to substitute. And, you know, let me give you five quick reasons why Texas is better than the team that they were in this game a year ago. They have better depth. They have better depth on offense and defense. They have six receivers who'll get by you, get behind you. Texas has five linebackers they're rotating. They have depth at corner, at star, at safety. Derek Williams is back. I mean, I still want to see Michael Taff and Andrew Makuba on that field together because they are dealing. We talked about that yesterday. If you missed yesterday's show, make sure you go back and listen to it because there's a special reason that there's good communication in the secondary. The red zone offense is on fire. The red zone offense was a problem last year. It was a problem even going into the OU game before the first and goal from the one, you know, goal line stand by OU. And then Jake Majors, remember, went down, the starting center went down 3 minutes into the game, and they had to go to their third string center because their backup center, Cole Hudson, was out with a knee injury. And that affected Texas. Connor Robertson tried his best, but he was not impactful in that goal line series. He gave up a sack. Quinn Ewers got sacked five times. You want to take the wind out of your sails? Get sacked in this game. Any of those high emotion plays that get the fans revved and take you completely out of your sequencing and put you behind the chains, that's devastating stuff. So this is another Joe Moore Award statement game for this Texas offensive line. They want to win it. Okay. You showed you could get it done against Michigan in their house, against that defensive line. Show you can do it against Brent Venables, Danny Stutzman, Billy Bowman. Reason number three, Texas's defense is better. Their pass defense is better than last year. And Texas has speed on defense that should contain Michael Hawkins and make him feel, you need to make him feel like the walls are closing in on him. Again, please let me see a ton of Ethan Burke at defensive end for Texas, just pushing those OU offensive tackles. My man, number 70 for OU, Michael Tarquin. Let me see Ethan Burke just pushing Michael Tarquin right back into Michael Hawkins. Or Jake Taylor at the other tackle, Spencer Brown. These guys have not shown that they can hold up against players like Colin Simmons, Ethan Burke, Baron Sorrell. Reason number four, Texas is better than they were a year ago, the quarterbacks. Quinn Ewers has another year of experience. He should never have a three turnover game again, ever. And the protection of the quarterbacks is the last reason. Texas had given up 9 sacks coming into this game a year ago. They've given up 5. And they need to show just how good of a pass protecting offensive line they are. Okay. So there you have it, kids. 31-9. Don't make this complicated. There are other big games I want to touch on real quick. In this special edition, Red River Shootout edition of First Down with Chip Brown, on the eve of the Red River Shootout. You got Ole Miss at LSU. It's 6:30. All the best games are at night. So you got to get to the Red River Shootout and then get somewhere quick, because you've got somewhere with a lot of TVs, because you got Ole Miss at LSU. Ole Miss is a 2.5-point favorite. And I think, and they're going into Death Valley. Give me LSU. Are you kidding? Wrong team favorite. Plus, as my man Josh Pate of 24/7 Sports, CBS HQ, you can find him on YouTube, the Josh Pate Show. He, you know, pointed out that Ole Miss is playing its seventh straight game, and LSU is coming off a bye. At 6:45, you got Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia, who got to meet his idol, Johnny Manziel, this week on ESPN, I saw. Vanderbilt, the giant killer, is at Kentucky. Kentucky is favored by 13.5. I think Diego Pavia has played enough football that he's going to show up and show out again. Give me the Commodores to cover. Kentucky's not that explosive. At 6:30, you got Ohio State at Oregon. Ohio State is a 4-point favorite. I have no idea what to make of Oregon, but I have a little bit of whiplash from watching Dylan Gabriel single-handedly beat Texas last year. So maybe Oregon covers in this. I don't know. Or maybe Ohio State's that good. We'll find out. And then at 7, my preseason Big 12 champion, Iowa State, is at West Virginia. And Neil Brown absolutely should have beaten Pittsburgh and should be 4-1 after losing to Penn State. West Virginia went into Oklahoma State, went into Stillwater, and beat the crap out of Mike Gundy's Cowboys. West Virginia is dangerous. If Iowa State's going to win the Big 12, they have to win this game, and Rocco Becht, who's a rising star quarterback in college football, has to show that he's a rising star quarterback in college football. He was a little flashy and inconsistent last year, but if he can iron that stuff out, that ball pops off of his hand. He's got moxie. He's got presence. I think that's going to be a really good game. And then on Sunday, I'm going to the Lions-Cowboys game to see my Detroit Lions try to get some payback for the robbery that occurred when the Lions went to AT&T Cowboys Stadium last year, when my man Taylor Decker reported as an eligible receiver, but the referee was walking away from him, not paying attention, and was like, oh no, number 70 reported as eligible. No touchdown. What? Come on, man. The Lions, I believe, are a 3-point favorite in that game. I think the Lions win by 3. All right, everybody. It's the Red River Shootout. I hope you're as pumped for this game as I am, and I hope if you're going to the game that it lives up to everything that you were hoping for. We like to close things down, wrap things up, I should say, with a Sean Adams thought for the day. Sean Adams, my beloved co-host, who passed away from a heart attack in 2017. Everybody get their heart checked, guys. Come on. And your prostate and your colonoscopy. You need to be around for your kids, for your family. Do the simple things and just go get the critical things checked, your prostate. Come on. These thought for the days from Sean are on his Instagram, This Sean with one S. This comes from November 18th, 2016. The grass is greener on the other side is a lie. The grass is greener where you water. Where are you watering is the real question. Thanks, everybody, for listening to episode 34 of First Down with Chip Brown. Let's do it again Monday. In the meantime, the dream is free. The hustle is sold separately. Go to work. Peace.